upper, but he's not really, he's certainly not an upper either. You know,
what is likable about Benjamin Button? What is memorable about his character?
Oh, look at Mr. Plinkett over here.
If you hung out with him, what would you get from that?
I think his accent is cool. To be fair, I think what's memorable and good about Benjamin
is that
he doesn't bring anyone down. As much as, you know, Ryan just called the movie a downer, I don't think Benjamin is a downer.
He doesn't necessarily bring you up either, though.
No.
Well, Ryan says
he's just a very interesting person.
Ryan says, compared to Forrest Gump especially, Forrest Gump is an upper. It's an inspirational film.
I guess so, yeah.
Why is Benjamin...
Here we go.
Why does Benjamin bring you up?
Here we go. Look at that. That is crazy.
That's Shadaren.
How he
Twitter,
looked.
Shadaren, yo.
Nice work.
Lola visual effects, hydraulics.
That's how he looked in, like, Legends of the Fall, right there.
Okay, outside of his aging backwards, why is he an interesting person? Why is he an interesting character that you want to know?
He's not.
It depends on when you meet him, I suppose. At this point in his life, if you met him, you'd be talking to, like, the most interesting 20-year-old you'd ever met. You know, you sit down with this guy, he looks 20 years old or whatever, you meet him at a party or whatever, and he's just going to be fascinating. Even if he doesn't talk about his life experiences, which he probably knows better than to do, like, he would have so much depth of you know, experience to him just in the way he talks about things and stuff that I think he would be fun.
The shot of his, when he walked into focus on that whole thing, the shot of his screen right eyelid, where he's walking to focus, they spent like 40 revisions on that bit, trying to get it exactly right. Because apparently Brad Pitt has this weird thing with his face where his left side eyelid is sort of, the muscles are a little bit weird and they're wrong and they just kind of fold.
Well, everyone's face is slightly asymmetrical.
But one of the things about Brad Pitt, you've seen him from age 20 to age 40 in films, and you're just, you know when it's not right. And it's one of those things, like Jeff Bridges, I guess, in Tron, where they spent weeks on that goddamned fucking eyelid. He said, like, we got the shot pretty much right, and then we spent 30 revisions on that goddamn eyelid trying to get it exactly.
Well, it's true, and now that we're looking at it, it's like his screen right or physically left eye is slightly smaller than the other, kind of the way it looks. He's asymmetrical. If both his eyes looked like that, it wouldn't be a fucked up eye. It's just that kind of the way it is. He's just asymmetrical.
It's a good thing he doesn't move very much, huh?
Yeah. That's probably it. That's probably why he didn't move very much. This would kill everyone.
He was talking about when they got I asked for emails. Just tell me your stories about working on this fucking movie, and I got stories from working on this movie. And one of the things is they got a plate of Brad Pitt walking around through. Think of it as film noir blinds, like shaded blinds, where there were shadows crossing his face. And he said, we spent 8 months working on this thing. We never got it exactly right. We spent 8 months bouncing it around the office trying to get it to work. It was the hardest shot we ever did. Shots in the movie. No shot in the movie was as difficult as that one shot in terms of just playing with the face. And all you have to do, it's basically a work of impressionism as an art form, where you're finding what subtle tweaks make it feel more or less like Brad Pitt. Age notwithstanding, getting that look to look right. And they said, you know, the hardest thing about it was figuring out how to get his eyes to look right. And it wasn't his eyeball, it was his fucking eyelid. Mm. The rest of it was, you know, this weird mix of filling in wrinkles and lifting up skin and trying to make the highlights hit in a different place so that his bone structure seemed like it was closer to his skin than it would if his skin was hanging down, all that shit. And we spent fucking forever on that goddamned eyelid. And it's so weird because another one of the guys, Chris Ingersoll, emailed me and was talking about how he had never had an experience working on a project like this where the director was more present. Like, Fincher came in every fucking week and did dailies every week. And he was always there and had a very specific vision of how this thing was supposed to go. And back to Wallach, Shadaren, how do you explain to a director when something is right but it looks wrong, that it is correct? And the answer is you really kind of fucking can't. Especially if Fincher has known Brad Pitt for 15 years at this point. You know, his eyelid looks wrong. Brad Pitt's eyelid is wrong. No, but his eyelid looks wrong. Brad Pitt's eyelid is wrong. It's an impossible job. And you go to theaters with the movie that you have, not the movie that you want. And that's even more true for a visual effects artist, where it's like, I'll bet you the guys that worked on that last shot of Clue and Tron, where he's trying to get into the portal, but he's like, he's running out the portal, he's like,
hold on.
His teeth are glowing.
Wait, what? Hold on.
He didn't see Tron.
there's a shot of Clue that doesn't work. Are you surprised? Those guys that worked on that shot are probably still pissed. Because they all know exactly the things that they would do for the next revision, but they didn't have time to do it. It's
why?
Just, it's that kind of shit. Because that's how it fucking goes, man. You get 9 months for a movie. You've got 700 shots. What do you spend time on?
You've got 700 shots and 365 days to work on them.
Mm-hmm. Why only a year?
Well, however long it is. Most movies have their release date set before the movie is even greenlit.
Why?
Because that's the way it is. They say it'll make the most money right there.
It's
so why not push
money.
It back one more year? Because they're stupid.
Because it costs a lot of money.
Yeah, because it costs more money than just to fucking shit it out sometimes.
Yeah, how rare is it that a movie's actually done before it comes out?
Never. Well, a movie's never done. You just have to set the deadline on the filmmaker. And to be fair, you know, a lot of filmmakers will pixel fuck any number. You know, if you give them a longer deadline, they're just gonna they'll probably screw it up more because
they'll keep being
this needs to change. Oh, right down there in the corner, that needs to change. Blah blah.
That's my favorite term from being in visual effects: pixel fucking.
Yeah,
it's not right. I don't know how to fix it. Pixel fuck it. Just start changing shit. It's beautiful. All right, guys.
Good for her.
We're 2 hours and 30 minutes into
this
movie.
She just fucked 20-year-old Brad Pitt. Good for her.
2 hours and 30 minutes
in. He probably didn't do a very good job if he was at the height of his lovemaking abilities when he was...
You're really into this fucking sex
15,
thing.
Yeah. 18-ish, right?
Is it wrong for me to say, when you said, what do you think of when you think of Benjamin Button, I actually think of the Tarsem sequence.
That's sad.
Is that sad to say that
maybe.
I actually don't think of Fincher's moment, I think of someone else's moment? Because it's because it's so jarring.
I'm right now I'm grasping for straws for interest, so I'm going to ask Dorkman this question. Stop reading your iPhone. Lean up to the microphone.
I do what I want.
What's the most fucking offensive thing about this movie?
I don't think there's anything
in this. Get offended, man.
No, there's nothing in this that really offends me.
It's misogynistic.
Me.
The makeup.
I can't.
It's communist.
The makeup.
Yeah, maybe some of the makeup work. Makeup. I don't know, but I mean that's a real shallow. I mean there's nothing that I find really offensive in this movie, to be honest. So,
what could make you more interested?
Characters that are interesting.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, I'm not. You know, I have a thing with biopics where.
Well, it's not.
It never feels like it's going anywhere other than
calls this movie "How I Met Your Boring Father."
Yeah, biopics don't go anywhere other than. Death. Like, that's the goal of a biopic.
Why you gotta be so negative?
There's no journey.
Why can't you be positive?
I mean, there's a journey of life, but there's no, like, we have to do this and this and this and this. There's no stakes. There's no, you know, any of that. It's just, this is what happened to this dude, and then he died. And it's like, that doesn't work for me.
Swiggly P points out that there's really nothing surprising about anything that happens.
Well, one thing you say about films is, or scripts in general is that people don't care about real life because real life is boring, and you need to explore characters that you don't normally hang out with, or situations you don't normally hang,
right.
You know, are familiar with. And Benjamin Button is just kind of normal.
Aside from him aging
they made
backwards,
Padme
yeah.
Amidala age backwards.
What?
It's kind of damning, I know. But in terms of boring characters, like Benjamin Button is an interesting guy. When he died, he was probably interesting in terms of the things that he had seen in his life. But that only works in
a
conversation.
God, kid from Star Trek.
That only works in a conversation where you're finding out the shit that he has done.
Right. Right, exactly.
Meanwhile, Trey the Amazing Stokes, that guy's interesting in his life. He's done interesting shit, but Trey will also kill you with a butcher's knife because Trey's insane.
Right. See, these characters don't really explore situations that are... amazing,
yeah.
or outrageous.
He's aging backwards.
Telling,
how can you get more amazing?
But
than
he's telling the same. Just, he's telling the same story that you might hear from a grandpa.
I was gonna say,
you know,
ultimately, what that last thing that I just said made me want to see is a movie about Trey.
if this movie, like you said, if you take out the fact that he's aging backwards, the movie is the same, and also no one really wants to see it. Because it's the same kind of story that your grandpa might tell you if your grandpa, like, fought in the war and stuff.
Right.
But otherwise...
Your grandpa was a cool tugboat sailor.
Yeah.
And then later went into the war.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of led a cool life, but he's not really a cool guy or an interesting guy, yeah.
So the problem is the length. If you lopped an hour out of this movie, what would you lose? What would you choose to cut to make this an hour and a 45-minute long interesting
take out film. The old lady at Hurricane Katrina that yeah. whole bit.
Yeah.
Daisy. There, you start with that and work your way down.
Yeah, yeah. That would probably cut a good minutes out of the movie.
I think more than that, like 20 minutes of the movie would be gone. Like that.
And then, yeah, focus as much as possible. If it's going to be a romance, because the thing is, I almost feel like the movie can't decide whether it's the romance between
him
Benjamin and Daisy.
Or if it's him and his life.
Or if it's just his life, yeah. So.
Well, Forrest Gump was rather clearly about his romance with Jenny.
Right.
The film was predicated on him getting with Jenny. And this movie isn't.
I have a random question for you.
Anthony, go.
How would Saving Private Ryan operate without the old guy? Do you think it would have been just
fine?
It'd be fine. So why do you think that was in there?
Because Matt Damon lived and they wanted to pull the trick on you and make you think it was Tom Hanks? Oh, spoilers, by the way. Sorry. Tom Hanks dies at Saving Private Ryan. My bad.
Here's the interesting thing. Like, there's almost no... It's not like they've switched positions, almost. It's like, he never took care of Daisy, but she's gotten to the point where she's old enough to take care of him
as a child.
There's
some poignance lost there. But I feel like that would have added length to the movie.
It would have added length to the movie, I'm just saying.
Well, if you don't
like,
have them separating as much, maybe.
You could have lost Tilda Swinton. Tilda Swinton could have been a short film by herself.
Yeah, she's great in the movie, but I'm not sure she's.
Is there a possible?
Because he already found sexual maturity with the hookers. So
is there a possible version of this movie where the characters don't spend so much time apart?
Sure. Yeah, but it's the version of the movie where you're not telling his life story anymore. Then you're telling the story of how he and Daisy got together and met. Like,
so you have to decide kind of which
one
it is.
That's the problem. That's what we're talking about. It's the Campbellian difference. It's whether or not you're making a movie about someone's entire fucking life.
Or about one aspect of
their life. Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump is about Forrest growing old with this problem that he has, but the success that he found and how he used it to eventually end up with the girl that he loved. Kind of. This movie is about his whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's really no... It's not judiciously edited, I guess, is the problem.
Shouldn't he be a giant baby?
This is a really effective moment, though. Watching a fucking baby die, that's rough. that pulls your heartstrings no matter what movie that was in. If you put that in any movie, I mean, that was in the fucking Butterfly Effect, and I still got choked up.
Maybe that's why I like this movie.
Zarbin
Baby's dying.
Instead of a romance, it should have focused on Benjamin Button's relationship with his doctor and made it like a medical case history kind
of
story.
See, that's what I was asking about the title, because I'm like, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button sounds like a film where he has a doctor or something like that, and that's not explored whatsoever in this film.
That could be a better framework than his daughter, who doesn't know she's his daughter, telling the story back to the mother, who is the mother. Like, I guess that's an interesting idea. Have it be something like a doctor's journal or something like that?
Right. I don't know. It doesn't need to be that, but just with the title, I automatically assume that it deals with something medical.
We spent a lot of time with his mom. Remember the beginning, the Civil War stuff?
Yeah.
And then she just disappears from the
movie. It was around the time of World War I, actually. But yeah, here comes the feather.
1918, so World War I. End of World War
I. End of World War I is when he's born, the same day.
See, okay, why'd they show her the bird?
Huh?
Because it's fucking the Forrest Gump feather.
The feather interacts with Forrest Gump twice.
Yeah.
Shush.
The hummingbird interacts twice here.
The hummingbird is his soul or something.
No, it's with two different characters.
It's his soul or something.
Wait, he's right. The hummingbird is actually the ship captain, not Benjamin.
Now we've got the commercial of everyone in the movie.
Yeah.
You guys ready to start wrapping up this movie so we'll be done by the time the movie's over?
This is totally a David Fincher, like, Nike commercial.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what it feels like. Especially with Tilda Swinton in the swimming outfit.
All right, we're coming up on the end, so I'm just going to end the episode of Down
All right,
now.
Go ahead.
This movie...
Here we go. CG face.
Yeah, there you go.
Black Swan.
I still like Benjamin Button, but it is one half of interesting as a film. It is watchable. It is well acted. It is, on a moment-to-moment basis, well directed. But in terms of directing a feature together to make a coherent story about something, this movie sort of falls flat. And I wouldn't have said that prior to trying to talk through it for 2.5 hours, but we're 2 hours and 40 minutes into it. And I think the message of Benjamin Button is, when you get old, your friends get different. And I didn't need 2 hours
really,
and 40 minutes
really
to tell
me
that.
The message is, as you age, your life changes. This is this movie here.
And while I really enjoyed the length of Zodiac, because Zodiac isn't about a whole life and meaningless thing, Zodiac feels consistently like you're driving towards the solution. And the problem with Zodiac for a lot of people is that you don't arrive at one. It's just these people that are obsessed trying to find the answer for who killed these people. You never find that information out, but every moment feels like it's leading you, and then it's just, the answer is decidedly not helpful. And that's sort of an inversion of what a film should be, but I enjoy it for that reason. Benjamin Button feels a little plain in that way. It feels a little...
Little is an understatement, I'm sorry.
It feels plain. It feels well-directed. There's a style to it. There is a flavor to it. But ultimately, the movie seems to be about life.
Blah.
And life as being a weird amalgam of events that don't really...
Whoa, whose fucking name was that?
That was his buddy, like his first friend.
The black guy.
Anyway.
I thought that was his father, his stepfather.
Chad, Benjamin Button?
Yes.
Having tried to talk to it for 2.5 hours, how do you feel about it now?
Well, I've been trying to think, just because I did like the movie, I've been trying to think of parts of it that I don't like. And to be honest, I really can't think of any. I've been trying to think of things to pull out of it, and I literally cannot think of
any. Just like it as
any.
A work. It's like a long album or something.
It is, and it's not usually that I can see such a long movie and go, oh, okay, I like all of that. And I'm kind of fascinated by why, because it is, I'm hearing what you guys are saying. It's very...
You guys are so logical in how much it sucks, but I love it.
But I love it. I don't know. I mean, there's just something about it that it's a work of art, and I was fascinated in the whole thing, so...
Right on. Dorkman, what are your thoughts at this point?
Yeah, it's... I mean, just
you weren't a huge fan going in.
Just watching the credits right now. I mean, this movie is a throwback. I think it's designed kind of as a throwback. I mean, just watching the credits. There's no fades. There's no crawl. It's just pop, 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 you know, different title cards like you would have to do back
then. Because
they
ran out of money.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that,
actually. All we had was a font and Final Cut.
Yeah, but... Yeah, I wasn't a huge fan of it going in, but I wasn't a huge hater. I mean, I feel essentially the same way as I did before. You know, it's a solid movie. It's a perfectly watchable movie, but it's not a movie that has a lot of rewatchability.
Have you had any enlightenment over the course of this? Have you learned anything about it? It's like, this is that. That's why this. Any of that kind of shit? Or is it just still Benjamin Button, a long movie about Benjamin Button?
It's just that. It's just kind of like, here it is, and you either... You know, it either blew you away or it didn't, and for me, it didn't. I don't hate it. I just don't feel that strongly about it. Either way, really.
But you think it's a well-directed film, at least?
Oh,
right?
I think it's a fine film, and you know, I wasn't surprised that it was nominated for
it's Fincher on Cruise Control.
Any number of Oscars. But yeah, it doesn't feel the word used earlier was passionate. It doesn't feel hugely passionate, and I don't feel hugely passionate about it. Which is probably not fair because Fincher spent like a decade trying to get it made and stuff like that, so I'm sure he was very passionate about this, but something about it just didn't connect with me.
Right on. Anthony, aside from various facets of visual effects knowledge, did you really learn anything about Benjamin Button just thinking about it for 2 hours and trying to talk your way through it?
No. But, I appreciate two things. I appreciate the visual effects, and I appreciate the authenticity of the world. I just didn't find it to be a very interesting world. I mean... Nothing was really happening that grabbed me or mesmerized me in any particular way. But I do appreciate how real it kind of all is in itself, if that makes any sense. And I don't think I'd watch it a second time. What's going on over there? Why are you guys laughing?
Because Brian just walked over to the webcam and put his face in front of it, even though he wasn't on this episode.
I see.
Brian, I like to watch you.
All right. So basically the consensus of the room is Benjamin Button is a long movie about Benjamin Button.
Yes.
That's how we feel about it?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty much. Chad?
And I would
awesome.
Not...
I'm glad we expounded
what?
3 hours.
We made it.
And
hey.
I wouldn't...
We didn't run out of time.
I would not voluntarily...
Wait. I think my buddy's name is coming up somewhere in here.
I would not voluntarily invest another 3 hours to watch this again.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at the visual effects
credits. Yeah. Well, for
Andy
Cochran, there it is. Third name down.
What about Andy Cochran?
He was the one who worked on the water.
It's a good thing you pointed that out. It's a good thing you pointed that out.
Lola Vision. Yeah.
You would have missed it. Woo, Lola! Hey, that guy. No, he's gone. Okay, that's another thing about visual effects credits. Again, not a Benjamin Button thing, but just because there's only like four guys who get a credit, those aren't the only four guys who worked on it in a given place. Just so you know.
It is.
Anyway.
You're wrong.
Right on. Anyway, this has been Down in Front. You can always find more episodes at downinfront.net. Click that iTunes link, get a brand new episode every single week. Find us on twitter.com/downinfront, Facebook Down in Front Show. Email us at downinfrontshow@gmail.com. Click that big link on the front page of Down in Front. It says PayPal on it, and we're not asking, we're just saying that will give us money. Go to the store, buy the shirts. Go to the store, buy the DVD. We get a buck. Go to the forum and involve yourself in the conversation. And until next time, my name is Teague Christie.
Say your name, Chad.
Say your name, Chad.
Chad Peter.
Mike Scott.
Anthony Elba.
And this has been Down in Front. Thank you very much for listening. Good night, good night!
What?
You see, it's a story about his whole life, Dorgman.
And then he died.
As a baby.
Baby death.
Baby death.
Your mom died.
That sounded like a chore.
Well, it was good for 2 hours.
Yeah, and then the last hour was a little rough.
Because I came back the last I ran out of things to talk about.
That's a horrible two sentences. The first 2 hours are fine. Last hour. There's nothing about those sentences that are good.
Hey guys in the chat room, how are you?